Good morning. I have, my wife and I have many children and grandchildren, and they tell me that I don't have any trouble being heard. They told me this morning my microphone wasn't on, but I didn't even notice. I'm Rob Mathis. My wife, Jan, and I are fairly new members here. We are not new to the Presbyterian family, but to this local body within the last 6-7 months or so. And I come by way of Sitka, Alaska, the first Presbyterian church there that I pastored part-time for 3 years, actually living outside of Duval with my wife and kids and commuting up there. So 10 days a month. Quite an interesting experience, and one that I won't soon forget. It's been a blessing in many ways. But it's also a blessing to be here amongst you. And I just wanted to make sure of something. This is my first sermon, second, I did it in the first service. And I am reminded of the late Billy Graham, who was a young man in a crusade. He found himself in the Midwest and a small town, and they were preparing for that night, that first night of the crusade. And he was missing Ruth, his wife, and as he often did, he would take a break and write a letter and then find a post office. It's a little different back in the 50s than now. You can find about anything you want on your smartphone. It doesn't make you smarter. It just means you can find it. So he tells a story of where Billy Graham was looking for the post office after writing this letter, and he walked a few blocks and he couldn't find it, so he thought, let's find someone. And first thing he sees is a young boy playing in the yard, and he asked the lad to give him the directions to the post office. And the lad complied and gave him the directions. And then Dr. Graham invited this little boy to his crusade. And he said, you can hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven. Would you like to go? And the little boy wasn't shy. His response tickled the budding evangelist. He said, sir, I don't think so. I don't think I'll be going tonight because you don't even know how to get to the post office. My hope is that you will listen to me and not be like the little boy who said, turn that off. I'm not going to go to that. The scripture that we have this morning is a powerful scripture. Well, frankly, I don't know any that aren't if we really get down to it. But this one has some very specific things I think we can learn a little deeper than maybe we've thought of them. It comes from John, the mainstay of it is from John, the 10th chapter, the first 4 verses. And it says, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other means, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I'm going to repeat that. He calls his own sheep. This is the great shepherd. This is the shepherd of the flock. By name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice and he knows their name. So let's break this down for a few minutes. In the first verse, it talks about a robber or a thief. And we have to ask ourselves, okay, who might that be? We don't have to look long to see that there is another reference. And in gradations of bad or fearfulness, it's up the ante here. In John, the first part of chapter 10, first part of verse 10. The thief, we've just had reference to, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The first part of verse 12 says the person hired, just a hireling for the sheep, runs off when he sees the wolf coming. And part two talks about a wolf attacking and scattering the flock. So what we see right away is that there is this danger. There's not just somebody going to steal something. But there's a thief, there's a wolf. You know, there's someone that wants to steal, kill, destroy. So who is this wolf? Who is this scatterer of the flock? Let's go back and look at some things. In the ancient Greek, which is the language that the New Testament was written in originally, the writers wrote, the word for thief was kleptes. That's the word they used. You might recognize it as today we have klepto. Comes from that. It doesn't simply mean a thief, though, but one who is sneaky and quite possibly an imposter. Now, I spent 28 years in law enforcement. Most of the thieves that I dealt with were not crafty. They were impulsive. And they often got caught. This isn't talking about somebody shoplifting. This is someone who is sneaky. And they actually pretend to be somebody they're not. They get in amongst the sheep through trickery and deceit. And this thief is not jumping up and down and saying, "Eeny, yanny, I'm here." This thief looks like the real McCoy. The thief they're talking about here isn't run-of-the-mill. It has the characteristics of an imposter. This bad guy, as we used to call him in non-PC terms in law enforcement, they come into the sheep pen for three very specific reasons. They come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. First, we would expect this thief to steal. So what? Thief steals and goes on their way. Remember that this thief is stealth. This thief is sneaky and an imposter. meaning the sheep don't even know the true intentions of this person. They don't recognize them as a wolf. If they did, they would wake the shepherd up because there would be bedlam. Second, the thief comes to kill. And you say, okay, sounding more and more like the evil one, which it is. But the word here is not murder. In Greek, it is duo. It means to sacrifice. The thief sneaks in unnoticed and is hanging out looking like a sheep or maybe even like a shepherd. Certainly not anyone for us to worry about, right? But he comes to kill? What? Something more is going on here. The thief is doing some pretending, and in the killing, he's actually sacrificing. In other words, they're doing holy stuff. They look like they're doing holy stuff. Playing the part. This imposter stuff is when it gets really bad, for the thief is leading the sheep astray. Third, when the thief has everybody lulled into complacency, thinking they are being and doing what is right, even though the true shepherd isn't there, this woman or man seems pretty good. Unorthodox, yeah, maybe, but they look so good. They're so articulate. They're so bright. Oh, they have this smile that just charms you. So charismatic. Went to a fine school. And now look, people are coming to our church more and more. We got a building program going. The numbers are up. Must be God to have success like that. This third characteristic, the thief comes to destroy. What's going on here? Why would a thief sneak over the wall and get in the sheep pen? Doesn't he just want to grab a sheep and go? Not according to what Jesus is saying. And keep in mind, this is Jesus talking about this. My perspective of what he's saying, but this is Jesus talking about these people. He is telling us that this thief is much more wicked and his tactics much more subtle and much more dangerous. The scriptures are telling us in deeper than simply having an enemy. This thief is a deceiver, secretive and deceptive. He's sacrificing or looking like he is or she is an insider, a good person. The word for kill, steal, destroy, the third word, destroy, in Greek is apaluo. Destroy, as it was used and quoted by the writer of John, is everything you can imagine and more. The thief is coming in for the coup de grace. It means not only to cause a loss or even a death, but to literally destroy the object of its wrath. And it is most often associated with extreme violence. Are you with me so far? I have painted a pretty scary picture. And I am, yes, talking about the evil one. I am talking about the one that despises God so much that he and his minions will try to invade the church and invade homes and tear lives apart. And we must be awake not afraid, but awake. And there's a big difference. If we stop right now and you leave, most of us will be shaking our heads, what the heck, you know, it wasn't worth much to hear that. I certainly don't want to think about bad stuff. But the most important part is yet to come. Because in the Old and New Testament, all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, in fact, all through human history, all through nature, everything in the universe is crying out the name of Jesus Christ, the power of his blood, and of his love for his creation. The world keeps looking at the darkness that I just described, and the wicked one, and like sheep who've gone astray, they're running and running and running and trying this and trying that. And we just recently had a billionaire, caught up in some terrible mess and was either killed in prison or took his own life. Folks, there is light and there is dark and there's not much in between. The good shepherd calls each of his sheep by name. And they recognize his voice, for it is not only mightier than the crashing of many storm-driven waves, it is also as gentle as a dove cooing with her little chick. His sheep follow his voice, his direction, and his guidance. And they do so because he leads them to fresh water, to fresh pasture, to open meadows. These pastures are new and renewing and renewed. This good shepherd promises to feed us and care for us when we stray, and to retrieve us when we've gone too far. So what is our response here? We can, and sheep need to be put away at night or kept closed in, because sad to say we're called sheep because they're really not bright. And there are cases where the leader, I don't know how they got voted leader, but led hundreds off the cliffs to their death. That's not a bright animal. I'd rather be called a lot of other things, but not a sheep. But the sheep, they hang out in sheep pens for their own good. But oftentimes they stay in the sheep pen, and it's kind of a half-hearted, bored kind of a sheep thing. There's no shepherd there, so they just continue to wallow in what becomes their own filth. We can allow ourselves to be lulled into a deep complacency. Just the stinky sheep's life for me. Oh well. Or we can wake up and we can smell the sheep pen. We can awaken from our slumbering, if we are, and we can ask the great shepherd, the one who loves us most, to draw near to us, to reinvigorate us, to reveal himself to us in new and different ways. We can ask God to speak to us, to lead us out into new pastures, new fields, fresh waters where we can be cooled from parched tongues. Philip Keller wrote a book, it's a phenomenal little book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. He grew up in East Africa and shepherded all kinds of sheep and goats and learned a lot. Went on to university, studied. But he says they are notoriously, talking of sheep, lazy, and they are creatures of old habits, even ones that don't work. They will follow the same trail until that trail becomes a rut that is so deep that they really can't traverse it any longer. They will overgraze a place until it literally will not produce any nutrition for the flock. They will soil their eating places and their watering holes to the point of absolutely destroying their entire range. And finally, if not rescued by a shepherd, die of disease and parasites that they themselves fostered in their grazing places. Folks, does this sound familiar today? Now, I'm not calling you that you're wallowing in the stinky pen, so to say, but in humanity, all of us have or are wallowing, are struggling, are challenged, and need a shepherd to guide them because we are on the path to destruction. This people called humanity is on its way. If you don't believe me, let's have a long talk. The world is crumbling. And a lot of people, Christian or not, don't want to hear that. Let's just keep it all happy, happy. The problem is, these sheep were happy, happy until one day, boom, off the edge of the cliff, or just died from depredation. There is great hope for all of humanity, but it is a hope that can only come through turning towards the great shepherd and not away, to listen for the great shepherd's voice and not block up our ears, because it is the great shepherd who will come into the sheep pen, come into the stench, come into the brokenness, come into whatever is carrying us in the wrong direction or weighing us down, and will call us by our very name. He knows us better than we know ourselves and loves us. And he will, to the last, pursue us, because sheep have to be brought out of the pen and they have to go to a place of renewal, of fresh water and fresh grass, and they can't do it on their own. We cannot do it on our own. Lloyd Ogilvie, former chaplain to the U.S. Senate, also was pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church. Somebody I had the opportunity to hear him speak a few times down in the Los Angeles area. He tells of a time when he was in the Middle East, and he was watching a group of shepherds as the sun began to set. And this flock of sheep, they were going down this hill. And as he and his companions got closer to the sheep and the sheep herders, they could hear each shepherd calling specific names. And out of this huge mass of several hundred sheep, the sheep would respond to the specific shepherd and break away from the others and go. I don't know about you, but that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, like this excitement, like, wow. What Jesus was saying is who Jesus is. They knew his voice and they followed him. And then what happened? The different groups of sheep all went into where they were supposed to go because they had a shepherd that was leading them, and they knew the shepherd, and the shepherd knew them by name. Individual name. That's a sheep. How much more does our Heavenly Father know our name and know us and know our pain and our brokenness and our guilt and shame? So much so that he sent his son to be that shepherd to lead us out. But in this case, what happened was it was getting dark. Remember what we said, there are wolves, right? There are dangerous creatures, you know, for sheep. So what did the shepherds do? They positioned themselves at the gates, at the exit points where their sheep were, and built little fires and watched over their sheep. There was no wolf in any one of those places where the shepherd cared for them. And in our lives, that is what I believe God wants to remind us of today. That his son came, gave everything, everything. There's nothing that God the Father did not give by giving his son. There's nothing more to be done. But they did so, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because they absolutely love each of you beyond measure. And they are calling each of us back to listen for that still small voice, to listen for God Almighty through his Son saying, I love you just as you are. And you are enough. You don't have to be anybody. Just be you. And I will lead you in quiet waters, green pastures. That's the kind of God that we serve. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our King and our God. You are utterly faithful. You will not leave us or forsake us. And Lord, I thank you that it matters not what we feel. You are steadfast, and especially steadfast when we can't hear you, when we are hurting, when we are sad and depressed and lonely and feel rejected. You will not leave. So we accept that today. And I ask for the eyes of the hearts of each person here to be opened, to cast their cares on you, because you care for them. Amen.